got a question about double. What exactly is the question? The same way you would use float, you just use the word double instead of float. There are different types. There's int, there's double, there's float, and so on and so forth. You just use double. The only difference between double and float is that double allows for more precision in the response, in the answer. That's it. No other difference. What problems did you come across? Okay, you'll have to show me, if you have it, a copy of it. Okay. Well, if it ever comes up, in general, whenever you have errors that I can't, you know, that bewilder you, make a copy of it, put it on the side, bring it in so we can at least look at it, because there's no way I can possibly...
I just like clear answer.
Right. Okay, well, I can't help you, no, because I certainly don't know what you did. So, if there's ever a question anyone needs to do this, then bring it in. Okay, now, one other thing. In those of you who did this program that you handed in today, or you're in the midst of doing it, if you may have noticed that if you did not use precision, let's say 2 or 3, then when you pressed, when you checked your answers, let's put the x values back into the equations, in some cases, you may not have gotten exactly 0. You may have gotten something like, maybe even got -0. Maybe you got e to the -16, like 0.00000000, and so on. Okay, and that's why it said on the sheet that when you check, you need to have either close to 0 or either 0 or very, very close to 0. Obviously, you have e to the -16, let's say, something like that. That's 0.00000, 16 zeros, and then a, you know, a 1 at the end of it or something. That's very, very close to 0. And the reason that comes about is because unlike human arithmetic, using integer arithmetic, which essentially is infinite, right? When you have a fraction, it goes on forever. In a computer, we have round-off errors. And just as when you divide 1 divided by 3, okay, should be 0.333 forever, but in a computer, it's got to, at some point, due to whether you use float or double, it has to round it off to a certain number of places, like 0.333333, and stop right there. When you then multiply that by 9, instead of it getting exactly 3, you may get 2.99999999, which of course is not 100% the right answer, but it's very, very close. Now, if you then use precision to round it off to, let's say, to 3 or 4 or even 5 places, 2.999999 rounded off to that many, to 3 places, is going to be 3. So you're never going to see that round off error. But if you don't use the precision and you leave it to its full extent, you might be surprised by getting an answer that's slightly different than you expect if you do it by hand. Okay? When you do 1 divided by 3 times 9, you cancel out the 3 with the 9 and you get a 3, an exact 3. That's called integer arithmetic. But when the computer does 1 divided by 3 times 9, 1 divided by 3 is 2.99999999999. I'm sorry, 1 divided by 3 is 0.333333333. At some point it stops, multiplies that by 9, gets 2.999999, and unless you round it off, you don't get exactly 0. Okay? So round off errors generally are, you know, to be expected whenever you do real arithmetic. Because a computer is not an infinite device, it's a finite device. If you ever take a calculator, you might be wondering why, if I say that computers are finite devices, if you take a calculator and go 1 divided by 3 times 9, you get exactly 3. Should you get 2.99999, you get here as well. The answer is that they've already beaten you to it. If, let's say, your calculator shows, let's say, 8 digits across the top, they do all calculations internally to 10 digits. And then they automatically round off the answer in 10 digits to the 8 digits that they display. So you, in fact, will see 3.000000, but if you were not to round off, you would be able to see that the full calculation that it did, even the computer, the calculator would get 2.99999999999, beyond what you can see. Okay? So there's always going to be round off error. Now, as scientists, when you deal with very, very large numbers, or very, very, very small numbers, you have to be careful that round-off errors don't accumulate. When you took chemistry or physics the first time, you probably learned all kinds of rules for precision. How many digits of precision you're supposed to show when you do a calculation, there's a whole complicated algorithm. depending on whether it's multiplication, division, or addition, subtraction, and errors proper gate. So if you have two measurements that you plug into a formula, and one measurement has certain errors in it, another measurement is maybe more accurate and doesn't have as many errors in it, the errors propagate as you put the numbers through the calculation. Finding correct answers is a very, very difficult task to get the right answer. There's all kinds of rules for it. And the same thing is true with computers. Okay, when you do calculations with real arithmetic, we have to take into account the fact that a computer is a finite device. And that at some point, it has to do a round off. It has to stop the calculation. And so if you don't take that into account, those errors may eventually accumulate and give you a wrong answer altogether. So the subject of this is not for this class, but in fact there is an entire science, books, that one can read on how to avoid round-off errors, how to rearrange the formula to minimize these type of errors, and how to make sure that in fact you get the right answer. Again, when you check your assignments here, you may in fact have found that the result, even though the roots should be equal to exactly zero, because of round-off errors, the roots may not be exactly zero. But as long as they're very close to zero within a delta, within an error that you are permitting yourself, and certainly out to 10 to the minus 16 in our case, when we're only looking at the roots to maybe one place or two places, automatically rounds off to zero, and then we're perfectly happy with it. Okay? So just be aware of that in terms of your calculations. Okay, we're going to take a pause now from program. By the way, what I do from today's class on is not on the exam. The exam is on next Monday. We're going to start looking at binary arithmetic today, and that is on the next exam, not on the exam for this coming Monday. What I want to spend time doing today is twofold. First of all, to make you comfortable in representing numbers using the binary number system. And number two, to show how a computer actually does calculations. So how does it do the addition or the subtraction inside the computer? What's going on in there? So let me remind you that in a computer, all we have are little switches, which we call bits, and a bit could be either 0 or 1, representing whether the switch is on or off. Nothing else. Okay? Now, that means we have only two different digits to play with, 0 and 1. And the issue is, how can I represent any number using only two digits? The same question can come about our own number system. We use the decimal number system, and in the decimal number system, we have digits 0 through 9, and yet, with only 10 different digits, 0 through 9, we're not limited. We can represent any number because, of course, it's also a positional number system. So that in the decimal number system, which we call base 10, we know that we have the ones place, which is really 10 to the 0 place, which is, of course, 1. And then we have 10 to the first, which is 10, and 10 to the second, which is 100, and 10 to the third, which is 1,000, and so on. So that when you write a number like 3,548, and I'm going to just put the little word 10 on the bottom here to remind us that we're talking about the decimal number system. What does that mean? This reminds you back in kindergarten or in first grade when you had to do grouping in a workbook. Okay? This represented 8 ones, 8 times 10 to the 0. This is, of course, 4 times 10 to the first. This is 5 times 10 to the second. And this, of course, is 3 times 10 to the third. So this is 8 times 1, which is 8. And this is 4 times 10, which is 40. And this is 5 times 10, which is 500. And this is 3 times 10, which is 3,000. And of course, if we add this up, we will get 3,548. And that, of course, is the simple understanding of our number system, which you've taken for granted since second grade or first grade or kindergarten. And it's based on the number 10, the ones columns, the tens columns, the hundreds columns, the thousands columns, and so on and so forth. And so just because we have 10 digits, 0 through 9, we still are not limited. We can represent any number whatsoever because we can put things into columns. Another way of looking at it is that when we start counting, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then we run out of a digit, what do? We move over the 1, we carry the 1, and start all over again. So we get 1, 0, which is 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, all the way up to 99. And then again, we ran out. So again, what do? We carry the 1, and we have 100, and we start 101, and so on and so forth. What's special about the base 10, the decimal number system? Absolutely nothing. It's just the one that you happen to be comfortable with, because that's what we use. Why did the humanity decide to use the decimal number system? I already went, probably because we have 10 fingers, and digits and fingers are the same thing, and people counted on their fingers, and when they ran out of fingers, they put a stone into a box, and they started again, and they put a stone into a box, and so on and so forth. And then when they counted the box, they counted how many stones they had, and when that they ran out of 10 stones, they put a stone into another box. And so the positional number system develops. There's nothing special about base 10. It's very, very important to understand that, just that we're comfortable to it, and it's based on position 10. There is nothing wrong with having another number system which has only two digits, which I'll call the binary digits, in which it is based on the number 2, base 2. In which case, we have 2 to the 0 power, 2 to the 1st power, 2 to the 2nd power, 2 to the 3rd power, 2 to the 4th power, 2 to the 5th power, 2 to the 6th power, and so on. And 2 to the 0, of course, is 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, and so on. So that if someone writes the following number, 1011, which I'm not going to say 1011, because that's only if it's in the decimal number system. The word thousand, the word 11 is in the decimal number system. Instead, in the binary system, we'll interpret it this way. This is a 1 in the ones place, 1 times 2 to the 0. This is a 1 in the twos place. This is a 0 in the fours place. And this is a 1 in the eighths place. So therefore, this is a 1, and this is a 2, and this is a 0, and this is an 8. Altogether, we have here number 11 in base 10. Okay? So, writing this and writing this are exactly the same thing. Makes no difference. It means the same number of items. One more than 10. Now, it's important that I write 11 base 10, because if I just write 1, 1, someone might assume that that's the binary number system, in which case this is not the number 11. What number would this be? It would be a 1 in the ones place, and a 1 in the twos place, which is a 3. In other words, how many fingers am I holding up? This number of fingers. Okay? So this is the same thing as this in base 10. Now, when you write a number out longhand like this, or like this, in other words, as a sum of terms, that's called polynomial form. Polynomial, many terms. If I give you any number written in base 2, it's quite easy to convert it, as I just did, to base 10. So let's try another number. Suppose I give you the number 1110110 in base 2. And I ask you, okay, your mother sent you out to the store to buy this number of potatoes. How many potatoes is that? Okay, or this is a number on your paycheck. Is this a big number or a small number? Are you happy with this as your paycheck or not? So let's see what this is. Now, I could write it out, but we can do it in our head. It's nothing in the what column? First column is the 2 to the 0, which is the ones place. There are no ones. There's 1 in the twos place. There's 1 in the fours place. There's nothing in the eights place. It's not 6. 8. 2, 4, 8. Okay, powers of two. So nothing in the eighth place. There's one in the 16th place. There's one in the 32th place. And there's one in the 64th place. So if I add this up, what do I get here? 12, 18, 2, 5. So if you were buying potatoes, you'd have to bring back 118 potatoes, which is can be written either which way. Now, you can write this on a bank check. You can pay on a write on a check, pay to the order of the amount of 11110100, but you'd better put the little word 2 there. Otherwise, the bank clerk is going to assume that this is in the tens, in the decimal system, which would be a huge number, which means you'd have 1,110,110. But of course, in the binary number system, this represents a totally different number. It represents the number 118. Does everyone see how to convert a number from base 2 to base 10? Now, what about the reverse? Suppose I give you a number in base 10. Method would we use to change it to base 2? Suppose I give you the number 93 in base 10. And I say, write this number in base 2. So there are several different methods. Here's a very simple method to use. On your scrap paper, you write a little chart, starting with 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. Now, the next number is 128, right? When I double 64, I will get 120. That's bigger than 93. So I stop here. And then what I do is, starting from the bottom, I divide this into 93, which, of course, will be, in this case, one time. Okay, which is going to be remainder 29. Then I take the next number, and I say 32 into 29. That, of course, is 0. And then 16 into 29 is one time. And then 8 into 13 is 1. Remainder 6. Then 4 into 6 is 1, remainder 4, 2. 2 into 2 is 1, remainder 0. And don't forget to take that last one. 1 into 0 is, of course, 0. And so this number, I claim, is the same as 93. And I probably made a mistake somewhere because I don't think it's right. But let's just see. It's no ones, a 2, a 4, a 16, a 32, a 60, what did I just do? A 1, a 2, a 4, an 8. Oh. Let's do it again. No ones, a 2, a 4, an 8, a 16, no 32s, and a 64. Yeah, this can't be right because I did an arithmetic mistake here. What did I do? Oh. What's 8 into 13? Ones, remainder what? 8 and what? Right, not remainder 6. Why didn't anyone stop me? Okay. So, this is not correct. Let's do this again. Sixty-four into 93 is 1. Remainder 29. 32 into 29 is 0. Remainder 29, 16 and 29 is 1. Remainder 13, 8. Did I write the 60? 64 and 90 is 1. 0, 1. 1 times 16 is 16. 8 into 13 is 1. Remainder 5. Okay, now, where are we up to here? 4 into 5 is 1. Remainder 1. 2 into 1 is 0. And then there's one left over, and one into one is one. And that number does add up to 93. Let's do another one. Let me give you the number 47 in base 10, and ask you to write that number in base 2. So again, we're going to make a chart. The chart starts out with 1, 2 to the 0 power, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. The next one would be 64. That's too much. 32 into 47 is 1. Remainder 15. 16 into 15 is 0. Remainder 15. 8 into 15 is 1. Remainder 7. 4 into 7 is 1. Remainder 3. 2 into 3 is 1. Remainder 1. And finally, 1 into 1 is 1. Remainder 0. So that number is the same. 101111 is the same as the number 47 in base 10. So now you know how to write or represent any number in base 10, which you've always known, and now in base 2. And you can go back and forth between them. If I give you a base 10 number, you know how to find it in base 2. If I give you a base 2 number, you know how to find it in base 2 or base 10. And so we can go back and forth between the two of them. When you type a number into the computer, the compiler converts it into base 2. And that sets the little switches on, off, on, off, on, off for the ones and the zeros. And then when you do your C out and convert it and tell the computer to display that number on your screen or on the paper, it automatically takes the number from base 2 and converts it into base 10 so that you see it the way you'd expect to see it. Internally, the memory of the computer is only in binary. Everything's in ones and zeros. Are there any questions on that? Now, why is it that human beings don't use binary? Why didn't we learn binary in first grade? Why do you, well, some people maybe do in fancy schools, but I mean, why not use binary? What's not convenient about it? And why is that? Okay, we have 10 fingers. That's number one. Less numbers. Base 2 will be more compact. And there's one other thing about it, a human thing about it. If I write a very long base 2 number, like this one, I ask you to copy it down. How likely is it that you're going to copy it down without making a mistake and not get dizzy in the process? Because there's only ones and zeros there. It's error prone for human beings because we make mistakes. Computers don't make mistakes. Okay? So for us, it's inconvenient. It's very long as compared to base 10. We can't count on our fingers and toes. So that's certainly a limitation. And it's very, very error prone. Now, there are, most of the time, we deal with base 10. We have no problem with dealing with base 10. The computer converts back and forth. But sometimes, we need to find out what's really going on inside the machine. Just like there are some people who need to go and work under the hood of their car. Okay, most people just like to drive. We don't care what's under the hood. That's for the mechanic. But there are people who like to get the last bit of whatever out of the car, and they like to work underneath the hood. In the same way, there are times when in order, either for efficiency or because to find some very difficult mistakes, we need to look at what's really being stored inside the computer's memory. And when we do that, we ask the computer to give us what's called a dump. And a computer dump is simply a printout of everything that's stored in the computer's memory. Now, how does that look to us? Okay, so let me show you a way that we can think about what is going on in the computer's memory. Remember, the computer's memory is organized in bytes. A byte is 8 bits. So that you can think of the computer's memory as being like the cubby holes that they have for teachers in a teacher's room. A bunch of little boxes in a row. Each box can hold 8 ones or zeros, 8 bits. And in order to illustrate that, the RAM, I will diagrammatically make little boxes. Here's box 1, box 2, box 3, box 4, box 5, box 6, and so on. And you imagine in your mind that each of these has 8 little switches in them, each of which can be set to ones or zeros. And how many boxes there are? Well, if your computer has 2 gigabytes of RAM, then there are 2 billion of these little boxes, one after another, in the computer's memory. Each box has 8 bits, has 8 little switches. In other words, each box holds a single byte. Now, in the computer, it actually doesn't look exactly like, you know, cubby holes, but it's a good way of understanding what it is. Now, if I give you something to put into, like the survey, I take it down to the department office and put it into the cubby hole, what do I have to tell you? Which cubby hole? If I tell you to go to your house, or I want to visit you, you have to give me your address. So each of these cubby holes in itself has an address. And we think of them as being numbered all the ways up to as much memory as you have. So somewhere up here, there'll be a box, 2 billion. So, now, let's say I do the following. Suppose in my program I say, int x is assigned the value of 5. What is really happening in the computer's memory? I've always shown this as a bubble with a little word x on it, and then we stick the 5 inside. That was very convenient when we talked about the Martians, but the computer's not a Martian. So what has to happen? First thing that happens is that the computer has to find some available space. So it's keeping track, just like a realtor does. Keeps track of which homes are occupied and which homes are empty. So let's say the computer, it decides that box 6 through up is empty. Okay? So on a little table that it keeps internally, it puts the variable x, it puts the address that it's assigned to x, and it keeps track of the fact that you said x was an integer. Why does it need to know that x is an integer? Because what is the point of a declaration? You remember that I told you what's the main point of declaring variables? To make space. If you say it's an integer, we said it is 4 bytes on our machine. 4 bytes of storage are put away for each integer. So when I now say x equals 5, the first thing the computer does is converts 5 into binary. 5 in binary is the following. 101. A 1, no 2s, and 14. That's a 5. But because it's an integer, 7, 8, and then 5. And what it actually does is, since it found spot for x in memory spot 6, it then puts the switches here and turns these switches off, turns these switches off, and turns these switches off. And that's what happens when you say int x equals 5. Just like that. Computer does not have to memorize the fact that 6 through 9 all belong to x. It just needs to know that x starts in location 6. Because it's an int, it knows that the next 4 of them are going to belong to x. This is called a memory map. And when we get a dump from the computer, what the computer will print out is something that looks like this. This is simplified, which basically says, starting in location 6, this is what you're going to find. Imagine having a program with thousands of variables. Okay, some of them are integers, some of them are floats, some of them are doubles, and getting a dump. You get reams and reams and reams of paper with zeros and zeros and ones, and more than likely you'd get dizzy before you figured out what's going on. What I need is a shortcut. A shortcut for binary that's easy to read, easy to understand, and not likely for us to make mistakes. Now you might say to me, well, why don't we use decimal? Okay? Why don't I just write, instead of writing it like this, let's write it like that. Because this is just the number 5 in location number 6. There are 2 problems with that. One, is that to go between binary and decimal is not simple. You've got to do some calculations. It's not immediately obvious, although it probably will after a while, that the number 5 is 101. But if I give you the number 3,497 and ask you, well, what is that in binary? You'd have to do some calculations. You'll probably get that on one of the quizzes. Okay? So it's not so simple to go back and forth. Also, the fact that I write 6 and 5 somehow or other doesn't convey to me the fact that there are 4 boxes being used in the computer's memory, 4 bytes, to represent that number. When you look at the 5, you really can't tell how many. Here, I can tell, okay, this is 4 bytes. Okay? Looking at the 5 doesn't tell you how much space is actually allocated for that number. So the decimal system, although decimal and binary are exactly equivalent, same numbers, it's not helpful to us when we want to really process values inside. So I'm looking for a shorthand for binary numbers, okay, that allow us to simply look at them and write them down without having to go through any calculations in our heads. In order to do that, I will introduce yet another number system. And this number system is called the hexadecimal number system. Let me leave that picture up there for a minute. And let's talk about the hexadecimal number system, which is base 16. Now, let's count like we did in first grade. You want to teach that everyone? Let's all count all together. Let me write like a little chart for you. First, base 10, the decimal numbers. Let's count from 0 to 15. That's easy, right? Everyone knows how to do that? 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Could have asked everybody to do this out loud, like in first grade, but we'll give you a little dignity that you all know how to count from 0 to 15. Everybody with me? Any problems with this? Hope not. Okay. Now let's do the same thing with base 2. Here I don't give you any dignity. So let's see. How do you write 0 in base 2? How do you write 0 in base 2? 1 is not 0. 0. Very good. See, I told you I'm not giving any dignity. 0, 0. How do you write 1 in base 2? Very good. 1. No problem. How do you write 2 in base 2? 1, 0. Remember, 2 is no 1s and 1, 2. So this is 2. Recognize it. How do you write 3 in base 2? 1, 1. Very good. Why is that a 3? Because if there's a 1 in the 1's place and there is a 1 in the 2's place. How do you write 4 in base 2? 1, yeah, I wanted to wait to see if someone else could do it. 1, 0, 0. No 1's, no 2's, and 1 4's. Okay, how do we write 5? I don't hear. 1, 0, 1. Excellent. A 1 in the 1's place, nothing in the 2's place, and 1 in the 4's place. How do we write 6? 1, 1, 0. Perfect. You can see a pattern here? How do we write 7? What's 7? Somebody, let's go. What? 7? 1, 1, 1. A 1, a 2, and a 4. Adds up to 7. Look at the pattern that's developing. How do we write an 8? Good. 1, 0, 0, 0. How do we write 9? 1, 0, 0, 1. How do you write 10? 1, 0, 1, 0. No 1s, a 2, no 4s, and an 8. 11. 12. 1, 1, 0, 0. Right? A 4 and an 8. 13. 14. 1, 1, 1, 0. Excellent. And 15? 15? 1, 1, 1, 1. Now, before you come back to class next time, no, we're not going home yet, but before you come back to class, you should be able to, just like you can recognize 0 through 15, you should be able to look at these instantly and at least count up to 15 in binary. Okay? Now, let's get back to base 16. Or hexadecimal. Now, if in base 10, everything is powers of 10, the ones placed, the tens placed, the hundreds placed, the thousands placed, and so on. And in base 2, everything is in powers of 2. 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, 1024, and so on and so forth. What are going to be the positions in base 16? Well, the first is always going to be what? 16 to what power? 16 to the 0 power, which of course is the 1's place. And the next place over is going to be what? 16 to the 1st place, which is equal to what? To 16, right? Oh, guys, wake up. The next one is going to be 16 to the, which is what? 256. 16 times 16 is 256. 16 to the 3rd place. But now you need your calculator. It's 16 times 16 times 16, which is 4,096. And the last one, which you are going to memorize, so to speak, although you can always do this on a test by hand, because I won't let you use calculators, is 16 to the 4th place, which is, of course, what? 16 times 16 times 16 times 16, which, for your information, is 65,536. By the way, if I write numbers in base 16, do you think they're going to be longer or shorter than base 10? Much shorter. Because each position can hold a lot more. Okay? So these are the positions in base 16. Now let's talk about the digits. In base 2, how many different digits do we have? 2 digits. They are 0 and 1. In base 10, how many different digits do we have? 10. And they are what? 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Well, in base 16, you would expect to have how many digits then? You'd expect to have how many digits? 16. Well, let's see what they are. Well, let's see. The first, I can count. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now I need another digit. I can't use 1, 0, because 1, 0 in base 16, 1, 0 in base 16 is the number 16. It's no 1s and 1, 16. And if this was in base 10, it would be 10. So I need another digit. So I have another digit. This is 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Those are digits. They're not letters of the alphabet anymore. They're digits. So the digits in base 16 are 0 through F. Huh? What? 16 would be 1, 0. Let's take a look at some numbers. Let's get used to it. So first of all, what happens if I say, I say to you, this is your paycheck for your work today. 3, 4, A in base 16. Is that a good check? How much money would that be? Well, let's figure it out. We're going to write it out in polynomial form. It's A times 16 to the 0 place. And it's 4 times 16 in the 1st place. And it's 3 times 16 in the 2nd place. So what is this? This is 10 times 1. This is 4 times 16. And this is 3 times 256. So this is 10. And this is 4 times 16 is 4 is 64. And this is 3 times 2, 56. It's 768. And if I have to add these together, 4 and 8 is 12. 8, 6 is 14. 7. So this number and this number, 842 in base 10, is the same thing as 34A in base 16. That would be not bad as your paycheck for today. You become a computer scientist, you become a consultant, then you too can get such money. Not salaries, but consultants can. I know there are consultants who charge $1,000 a day or more. Have a certain skill in a certain area that's needed. Okay? Let's look at another number. Let's do another one. Suppose I give you the number A2C5, base 16, and ask you to convert this. Okay? Again, let's do it together. It's 5 times 16 to the 0 power. It's C times 16 to the 1st power. It's 2 times 16 to the 3rd power. And it's A times 16 to the 16 to the 2nd, 16 to the 3rd power. Right? What are these numbers? Well, this is 5 times 1. What is this? What is C? It's 12 times 16. It's 2 times 256. And it is 10 times 1,096. And then you guys can do the arithmetic at home or by hand and get the answer. Does everyone see how it works? Let's do the reverse. Suppose I give you a base 10 number and ask you to convert it into base 16. Suppose I give you the number 829 in base 10 and ask you how to write that in base 16. So just like we did when we were converting from base 10 to base 2, we make a chart. And we start with 1, and the chart is 1, 16, 256, and the next number is too big, so I stop right here. And then I say 256 into 829 goes in how many times? 3 times. 3 times 6 is 18, 16. Okay? Which gives me 1. Okay. 16 into 61 goes in how many times? Can't hear. 3 times. Okay? 3 to 18. Which gives me. Now, 1 into 13 goes in how many times? How many times does 1 go into 13? Well, how do we say 13 in base 16? D, right? A is 10, B is 11, C is 12, D is 13, right? D times 1 is 13 and then to 0. So we're done. The 3-3-D. Everybody with me? Let's do one more of these. 2,698. How would we write that in base 16? So the chart, again, would be 1, 16, 256. Now the next one over would be 4,096. That's too big. 256 into 2,698 is what? 256 into 2698. 10 times, eight times. Right? 8 times, because A is times 256 is 2560. 8, 3, leave me 138 left over.
Correct? Yes? You look puzzled? Okay? A is 10. 2 to 6 into 2, 6, 9, 8 goes in 10 times. Okay. 16 into 138 goes in how many times? Anybody? 6, you say? Well, try it out. Huh? 8 times, he says. Okay, let's try it out. 8 times 6 is 8, 4. 8 times 5, 5 is 4. 8 times 2 is 10. No, that can't be. Too high. Try 7. Now, what am I multiplying it by? Sorry about that. 16. Sorry about that. 8 times 6 is 48. And 8 times 1, 8, 4 is 128. Correct. I'm sorry. 0, 1, 0. 10, in other words. Okay? And then, 1 into 10 goes in how many times? 8 times. Okay? So now, what skills have you learned so far today? You've learned how to count in base 2 from 0 to 15. You've learned how to count in base 16 from 0 to 15. I assume you already know how to count in base 10 from 0 to 15. You know how to convert from base 2 to base 10, and from base 10 to base 2. You know how to convert from base 2, from base 10 to base 16, and from base 16 to base 10. What's left to learn? From to go from 2 to 16, which is the whole point of this whole exercise. Okay? Let's look at something very interesting. If you look at the base 16 numbers from 0 to 15, you notice that each of them corresponds to 4 digits in base 2. Which is why I'm going to ask you to memorize these, be able to recognize these numbers off the top. Why does that help us? Remember what we needed? We needed a way to write down long and complicated base 2 numbers without making mistakes, without much work. In other words, something like this. Okay, and I say, copy it down. Well, go ahead, copy it down. I'll give you a minute. But first, copy it down. Then I'll show you how much easier it is if you do it base 16. I want to make sure I see everyone's head bobbing up and down as they look at those ones and zeros and make sure they get it right. Once you do that, it's so easy to convert from this to base 16. We simply divide it up in our minds or on paper into groups of 4. And then we just write the base 16 number down. So this is, what is this number? You shouldn't have to look this up. A 1, no 2s, and a 4 is 5. What is this number without looking it up? A 1, no 2s, no 4s, and 1 8. What is this number? 9. What is this number? 3. What is this number? No ones, no twos, no, I'm sorry, no ones. A 2, a 4, and an 8. 14. Okay, 14. What's 14? E. Now here's a trick to help you memorize. You know it goes up to F. F is 15, which would be all ones. 1, 1, 1, 1. 4 ones. This is one less than F. So it's an E. What is this number? What's this number? Very good. So that's the number. That's the answer. Isn't it easier to copy this down than to copy this down? So you see this on the board, and you copy this down in its place, because you do this instantly in your head, because now you're learning how to do this. It's much easier. So there's a special relationship between base 16 and base 2. Let's do another one. Let's write this one out. In our minds or on paper. We'll just 1111. That's an easy one. F. 1001. We just did that one up on top. 9. Good. F. F. What's this? 2. What's this? Look, no ones, no twos, a 4 and an 8. So what is this number? C, right? 12, C. And what is this number? No ones, a 2, no fours, and an 8. So therefore this number is A. Very simple to do. What about the reverse? Suppose I give you a base 16 number. Suppose I tell you, here's a number in base 16. A, 3, 9, F. And I say to you, how would you set the switches if you were the compiler? Honey, I shrunk the kids, I fell into the computer, and I have to set those little switches by hand. Which, by the way, in the 1940s and 1950s, in fact, they did have to do that when they programmed. You see why it's so inconvenient to program in machine language. But how would you set the switches? What is F? 1111. What is 9? 1001. What is 3? Remember those leading zeros, 0011. And what is 10? Now, don't say 1010, because that's, first of all, that's WINS on the news. And secondly, when you say the word 10, you're talking base 10. You have to say 1010. And that's all there is to it. So now you know how to convert from base 2 to base 16, and from base 16 to base 2. Now, let me just show you why one of the things that we talked about before. Remember, I had over here written out how I would have to write 6. I would have to write 6 colon 0000000. What is that? Instead, I will show this simply by saying 6, okay, 0000005. In other words, this is when I show a memory map, I do it in hexadecimal. Since there are, each of these is going to be a nibble, 4 bits each, instead of writing 0000, I write it as hexadecimal 0. Instead of writing 0101, I write 5. So the memory dump is shown to us in hexadecimal rather than in binary. First of all, it's certainly a lot shorter than what we had on the board beforehand, but it also conveys to us the concept of 4 bytes. Because you can easily see 2 digits per byte. Okay? So we're going to be paying attention to the hexadecimal value of the numbers. Everybody with me? Okay. Now, in your workbook, I think it's chapter 14, the last chapter in the book. Okay? Sometime between now and the next test, not the one on Monday, do the entire chapter. We haven't yet finished that chapter, so that's what I'm going to do to next. So I've done the first thing. First thing I told you I was going to start out to do today was to show you how numbers are represented internally. To summarize, in the RAM, the numbers are actually represented in binary, ones and zeros only. For convenience, instead of us writing down the ones and zeros, we will use base 16 as a way of neatly writing out the contents of memory locations that are in the computer, rather than the actual base 10 value, because that's too complicated to write. Okay. The next question is, how does arithmetic actually occur? There's not a little person sitting in there actually doing the arithmetic for you. So how can I tell a machine to do addition? Let's start out with addition. Clearly, there's got to be some kind of circuit that actually physically, when you put electricity into it, does addition for us. How do we do that? I'm going to show you how to do it. It's actually a nice 9th or 10th or 11th grade science project to actually build out of light bulbs and switches, actual light bulb switches, a little basic computer. I'll show you how to, it's very simple. Okay, a light switch on a wall. You turn it one way, the light goes on. Turn it another way, the light goes off. That's obvious. Okay. How many of you live in a house where you have a staircase and there is an electric switch for the hall light at the bottom of the steps and there's an electric switch on the top, right? Now you know what happens. If both switches If one switch is on and one switch is off, the light goes on. If the one on the bottom of the steps is off, but the one on the top of the switch, on the top of the steps is on, the light goes on. But if both switches are off or both switches are on, there's no light. That's a simple wiring diagram. That's an eighth grade science project to light. To have two switches, you do them in parallel, you put up your light bulb. If they're both, it goes one way. Even an electrician can do that. It doesn't take a computer scientist to do that. Let me summarize what I just said. Two switches. So we've got a light bulb. There's a light bulb. And two switches. Okay? To summarize. If the switches are off and on, or on and off, the light goes on. So this is a switch. Switch. And this is the light. If both switches are off, that's obvious what happens. The light goes off. What about if both switches are on? So what I do is, I do the following. I turn the light off, just like in your staircase. But I have a separate light bulb called the carry light bulb. Carry light bulb. And I turn it on. So on and on is off plus the carry goes on. Okay? That's the way I wire up. So what I do is I have a hole where I build myself is a little board. And the board has light bulb, light bulb, light bulb, light bulb, light bulb. And in front of each light bulb, I have two switches that control that light bulb. Okay? That's how I do it. Now let's see what happens. Our electrical rules here. So let's say I want to do 5 plus 2. Which of course better be 7. So let's see. How would I set my light bulbs? The switches. Switch for the 5 would be off, on, off, and on. That's the way I would set the top row of switches. That represents the number 5. Now I set the bottom row of switches for the number 2. So I turn this one off, this one off, this one on, and this one off. Because I wired it up, what happens automatically? This light bulb goes on. This light bulb, this light bulb, and this light bulb. And you walk over to those light bulbs, and what number does that say? 7. In the 1950s and 40s, they'd actually do that, play with switches, and then they would look at the light bulbs and see what the answer is. You ever see the movies with old-fashioned computers, lots of blinking lights? Okay? That's the lights. The mad scientists would go over and pull all the switches, and then lights would blink, and the world would explode, or something like that. Just a simple matter of wiring. Let's do another example. This time, let's add 5 and 7. And I better end up with 12. Now let's set the switches again. 5, I'd set the top row of switches to off, on, off, on. How would I set the 7? Off, on, on. Okay? As soon as I set those switches, what would happen? Well, according to our wiring diagram, on and on is off, with the carry light goes on. Right? Now let's carry it through. On and off is on. On and on is again going to be off, and the carry light goes on again. Everybody with me? On and on is off, with a carry light. So let me put the carry light on. Off and on is, and now the carry light on and off is on, and on and off is, and I hope this is the number 12. Addition is just a matter of wiring up microscopic little circuits so that when the little switches in the RAM are turned on and off, causes other switches to to go on and off as well. Why? Why does it work in your house? Well, yes, you're an electrician. You don't have to be a computer scientist. It's a matter of wiring. It's a matter of wiring it. The switches are wired up in such a way that when they are both on, no electricity flows. When they're both on, off, that no electricity flows. When one is on and one is off, off is on. That's the way it is in your house. So shrink your staircase down billions of times and have a little computer. We don't actually have to sit in this class to actually do the wiring, but it's a very simple, and really it's a good 9th, 10th high school to build a little computer that just adds with light bulbs and switches. Go to a hardware store, you buy a bunch of bulbs, little battery, you know, flashlight bulbs, you buy, well, done these science projects, right? You go to the hardware store, you buy a bunch of switches, you buy some wire, you buy a bunch of batteries, and then you just wire each one up, and it does it. And you've built a basic computer. Was shrinking down is the key, but that's what you've actually done. Are you with me? Now, what about subtraction? Well, interestingly enough, I don't have to change a single thing to do subtraction. I just have to teach you how to represent negative numbers, because subtraction is really just the addition of a negative number. Right? So I'm not going to bother teaching you how to do that, because it's not important for right now. But the key is that the computer can, if a computer can do addition, it can do subtraction without any sweat whatsoever. Okay? Now, what about multiplication? If I ask you to do 50 times 37, and you never learned how to multiply, you can add 50 37s. So if I teach you how to add, you also know how to multiply. I have to teach you nothing else. You just have to do this over and over and over again 50 times. Now, you wouldn't want to learn how to add that way because it would take you forever. But if a computer can do that in a trillionth of a second, each addition, then 50 trillionths of a second to do multiplication is not a bad deal. Right? So as long as you know how to add, you can do any arithmetic problem that you want. It's all you need to know, how to add. If I wire up a machine to add, it can do every other piece of arithmetic that there is. Now, that may not be the most efficient way of doing it, but it can do it. Huh? How do you divide before you learn how to divide? Multiple subtractions. You want to know how many times 50 goes into 2,375. You subtract 50 from 2,375 over and over and over and over and over. Keep on track how many times 50 times you had to do that before you hit less than 50. And that would be the remainder. So now not only do you know how to divide, you even know how to do mod. Only by knowing how to add. So technically your education could have stopped at first grade after learning how to add. You would not have to learn anything else. Now, of course, it's much more... And by the way, the first chips in the first calculators in 1972, there was a chip called the 404 that was used in calculators, simple calculators, could only add. And it did everything else just the way I'm describing it. So it took it to multiply a fraction of a second, and you thought it was instantaneous, but it really was a fraction of a second. It did everything by addition. Now, of course, your education didn't stop in first grade. You then learned how to multiply, right? So in multiplication, you learned, well, instead of doing 37 times 50, by adding 50 times 37, you learned some rules. You went like this. 0 times 7 is 0. 0 times 3 is 0. 5 times 7 is 35. Carry the 5. 5 times 3 is 15. So we have 2050, which is certainly a lot faster than 50 adding 50 times 37. Right? And it works. But you only had to learn one little thing to do this. You had to learn that 0 times anything is 0, and anything else is not. So we wire up a new set of rules with our switches. A new set of rules. Off and on. Off and off. On and off. We're going to switch the bulb to off. And on, we're going to switch the bulb on. Two additional wiring diagrams I need. Now let's see how that would work. take a simple case.
Let's do 5 times 2.
Now look what I'm going to do. If there's a 0, if the switch is off, everything is going to be off, right? So when I see an off, I'm just going to write an off
4 times,
because there are 4 places here. So off times this is off times this is off times this is off times this is off, right? Now let's see what happens with a 1. On times on is on. On times off is on times on is, and on times off is. So what is a 1 doing? It's just copying this over. Look, this is wiping everything out. This is copying this number over, shifted over one place. That's all it did. So multiplying by 1 copies the number, shifting it over wherever it is. Let's do a longhand. Off times this is off. 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 That's right. That's the rule. 0 times anything is 0. Now let's take 1. 1 times 1 is 1. 1 times 0 is 0. 1 times 1 is 1. 1 times 0 is 0. Okay? So what did the 1 do? It copied this and shifted. So multiplying by 1 copies and shifts. Now the rest of these zeros are going to do what? Again, just giving me 4 zeros. Right? And now if I use my addition rules, I get 0 and 0 is 0. 0 and on is on. 0, 0, 0 is 0. 0 on, 0, 0 is on. 0, 0. And what is this number? The number 10. Let's do another example. It's really so easy. Let's do something more complicated. Let's do 405. No, that's too much. Let's too much arithmetic there. Let's do 26 times 101 times 101. Okay? What's too big of a number? Let's just do 26 times 12. We'll do that one. Let's do 26 times 12. So let's see what we're going to do. We're doing this in binary. So first I have to write down 26 in binary. And we know how to do that? Let's figure it out on the side here. 26 in binary. So we're going to make a little chart. 1, 2, 4, 8, 16. The next one is 32. I don't need it. So 16 into 26 is 1. Remainder 10. 8 into 10 is 1. Remainder 2. 4 into 2 is 0. Remainder 2. 2 into 2 is 1. Remainder 0. And finally, 1 into 0 is 0. Let's just make sure that this is right. This, I say, is the number 26. So let's see. It's no 1s, a 2, where are we here? Okay, here. No 1s, a 2, no 4s, an 8, and a 16, so that's the number 26. Okay? So this, I'm writing this over as 1, 1, 0, 1, 0. Okay? What is the number 12 in binary? That one you should know. 12 is really 8 and 4. So it's 1, 1, 1, 0, 0. That's 12. Correct? No 1s, no 2s, a 4 and an 8. Now remember what our multiplication rules are. A 0 makes everything 0. So it's 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. Right? The next 0 shifts and makes everything 0. So again, okay? What does the 1 do? Shifts, but just copies the number down, the same. It makes no change. So I'm going to shift and put 0, 1, 0, 1, 1. And finally, this one does what? The same thing. Shifts and copies the number down.
0, 1, 0, 1, 1.
That's our rules. Okay? When we multiply by 0, it makes everything off. When we multiply by 1, well, if it's a 1 times 0, it's 0. 1 times 1 is 1. So it just copies it. And each time we shift over 1. Is that fine so far? Now that we've done that, we're going to use our addition rules. So, this is off. This is off. This is off. This is on. This is on. This is on. This one is what? Off. Carry the one. The on. And this one is on, and on is on, carry the on. And this number, I state, is what your calculator should get you when you do 12 times 26. Yes? We did, let's go back here. On and on is off, carry the on. Right? On and on is off, carry the on. Then there are offs here, so. And if you figure this number out, which is no ones, a twos, a four, no fours. 8 plus 16 plus 32. No 64s, no 128s, 1256. Add those numbers up. You should get what 12 times 26 is. Simple? Now we finish the chapter. So at this point, not before the test, but after the test, you should be doing that entire chapter, because it will definitely appear both on the next exam and on the final.